Let's pray. God, we come to you today. We need you like we've never needed you before. I pray, Lord God, that in these next few moments that you might speak to our hearts and speak to our minds, allow us to hear directly from you. Challenge us, oh God. Change us. Charge us up for the journey that is ahead. And Lord, I pray that you might use me now for your glory in these moments. Stand in my body, think with my mind, and speak with my tongue. Cause us to hear truth that will transform the way that we think and see so that we can follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, join me in Deuteronomy 12. Deuteronomy 12, verses 5 and 6, and then 8 through 12. I'm reading from the New King James translation, but I might switch back and forth between it and the New Living. But watch what the Bible says in Deuteronomy 12, verses 5 and 6, verses 8 through 12. Moses says, "But you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put his name there for his dwelling place, and there you shall go. There you shall take your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, your vowed offerings, your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks." Verse 8. "You shall not at all do as we are doing here today, every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. For as you have not come to the rest and inheritance which the Lord your God is giving you, but when you cross over the Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, and he gives you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety, then there will be the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. There you shall bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, all your choice offerings which you vow to the Lord, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, and your sons and your daughters, your male and your female servants, and the Levite who is within your gates, since he has no portion or inheritance with you." Now listen, I was already set up and prepared last week. I had talked about some expectations for the phases of moving back to in-person worship. I talked about how last week how the first phase that Hezekiah started was that the people would be spiritually prepared, that we had to be spiritually prepared to reconnect for corporate worship. And then the second phase that he went into was the physical preparations or consecrating the place. So I had this whole plan to talk about finding God's consecrated place and explaining, you know, how we were going about the building search and all of that. But let me just be real honest here. Sometimes there are things that we discover in the Bible that make us have to ask harder questions than we know how to answer. And that's what verse 5 did for me right there. The Bible says, "You shall seek the place that God chooses." And so I want to kind of deal with and work on this idea of determining God's choice. How are we supposed to find God's choice? If God is the one who chooses it, how do we determine what he chooses? How do we know what he has chosen? Now, I'm not even just talking about a building. I'm talking about stuff for your business. I'm talking about when you're looking for a spouse, when you're looking for business partnerships, people to connect with. I'm talking about decisions of cars and houses and life stuff. How do we find God's choice? And so that really bothered me as I dealt with this and as I looked at this. That verse made me ask questions. How am I supposed to know what God has decided? How does he let it be known to me what is his choice? And as I looked at verse 5 and as I studied verse 5 and then the following aspects, I discovered that we have this idea of God's perfect will being this thing. But God's perfect will, if you really look at the context of what God is saying through Moses in Deuteronomy 12, that God's perfect will is often found within the permissive places of what it means to walk in relationship with him. When you look at verse 5, when God says, "Seek the place, and there I will choose the place." In other words, he's saying, "I'll choose it after you discover it." When you go in the land and you look at all of it, not just anywhere, not just arbitrary places, but when you think about what is appropriate for you and I to meet together as God and people, and as you think about it through the lens of our relationship, when you find an appropriate place, then it'll be my perfect choice. Watch this. You don't find your soulmate. You in relationship with God, create your soulmate. Uh-oh, I'm messing with somebody already. Watch this. Because God's perfect will is found within the permissive parameters of relationship with Him. When we're struggling with what decisions to make, what is God's perfect choice, what's God's will for us, this text teaches that there are some preconditions that we have to consider out of our relationship with God. So as I wrestled with this text, I discovered three things. I'm going to try to show it to you and explain it to you as best I can, but hopefully it will help us know and understand, not just in looking for a building for a church, but how can we, in our relationship with God, seek to walk in His will for us. Well, the first thing that kind of popped out at me is as I studied this text, I discovered that when we're already operating in and functioning in the will or the ways of God that He's already revealed or already given to us or that we already know, it's easier to determine God's choices for us. If you go back and look at this text in verse 1, Moses says, "Now I'm going to give you some instructions that you have to be careful to obey when you live in the land that the Lord your God has given you." He says in verse 5 that He'll choose this place from among your tribes. They're still in the desert, but when you get to the place that is allotted for your tribes, God will find a place amongst the tribes. He says in verse 10, "When you cross the Jordan and live in the land the Lord your God has given you." Now remember, this is a reference to the promised land. This is a land that was promised all the way back to Abraham, that God's people had been looking forward to, even in slavery, even through the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. They knew there was the revealed will of God for them was that they would live in the promised land. And God says, when you get in that land, when you're dwelling in the land, then you'll find a place and I will choose it and we will connect there together. Notice that the options that the people of God would choose from came from within the confines of that promised land. It's when we're already operating in the will of God that we know that it's easier to determine what God desires for us out of the options that are available to us. We know then, because of that relationship, because we're already walking in obedience in relationship with Him, it's easier to determine what is appropriate for you and I. You know, it's kind of awkward as pastor for myself or Elder Palmer. Somebody comes up, "Well, Pastor, I was at the club and I was high and I was a little lit and I met her and she was puffing with me and I just discovered that this is the one that God has for me." It makes you cringe a little bit. Not saying God can't work like that, not saying that things can't happen, but it's easier to determine what's going to be God's best choice for you and I when we're already walking in what is appropriate, in what He's already revealed about what we should do and how we should be. Here's the second one. It's easier to determine God's best choices for us when He has given us what the Bible calls rest. Watch this. Look at verse 10. He says, "But when you cross over the Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, and He gives you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety, then there will be the place." Notice this, the idea of rest is this idea of security, of safety from your enemies, that you don't have to fight anymore. Remember, they went into the promised land and had to fight and conquer it. But God says, when you're done with that, then I'll show you the place. In other words, when He has helped us achieve a state of not having to constantly fight against who God has made us to be or to fight against operating in His design for us, when we're at that place where we're not fighting others or fighting ourselves about who we are in God, and how we flow with Him, it's then that we're in a state where we can better understand what God's choices are for us. Now, this is deeper than just having a peace of mind about a decision. I know folks, well, when it's God's will, you'll just have a peace about it. Listen, you can manufacture peace of mind. Let's just be honest. You can make yourself rationalize whatever decision or options that you have. When I'm talking about rest, when the Bible talks about when you have rest, it's the idea that you don't have to fight somebody or something or yourself wrestling with you about who you are in God. I can't tell you how many times I've had to counsel folks who they thought this business partnership was great, but then there was they didn't click, that somebody was trying to change them or make the business into something that wasn't the original vision. That's not a place of rest, right? Or it's a situation. Rest is a situation or a person or a job or a place that it can be God's choice, when it does not include having to squabble over and wrestle over and argue about being who He says I am and how He says I am to walk with Him. The idea, you know, the Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians about being unequally yoked. That can mean unfair, being in a relationship or being in a situation with unfair comparisons being forced upon you, or being forced to live up to impossible expectations. If you can see that coming, then that's not a good option as it relates to God's best choice for you, because it won't be a place of rest and safety for you. Does that make sense? I hope that helps somebody. Here's the last one. When we get to that place, we're walking with God and we have these options about what business or what decision to make. One of the things that we have to take into consideration is whatever option forces us or compels us to center Him in the center of our lifestyles, that's God's best choice. What do you mean? God always prefers that we walk by faith. So sometimes He will put us in situations where we never have enough information, where we never have enough resources, where we never have enough of what we think we need, because then it will force us to walk by faith. It will look like a bad decision, but it's actually God's best decision for us, because it centers Him in our lifestyle. Watch this. Look at verse 8. Moses says, now, when you get in the land, you don't need to do what we're doing here today. Everybody just doing their own thing and worshiping God any old kind of way. He says in verse 11, he says, then there will be the place where the Lord your God chooses to make His name abide. There you shall bring all that God has commanded you, your burnt offerings, all that stuff. And in verse 12, he says, you shall rejoice with your family, with your employees, with those who are marginalized, those who don't have, those who don't have a part or an inheritance or housing and places to live and take care of themselves. Watch this. Notice that God's choice for the important decisions that we're facing will force us into actions that will require more self-discipline. That's what verse 8 is. He's saying, listen, everybody's kind of connecting with God their own kind of way, and it's cool for now, but that we've got to look for the actions that are different from our current behavior. He says in verse 8 that the command is to act differently in the promised land from what's happening here at that time. The good choice, God's choice, forces us into actions that are different from what we're dealing with today. Actions that will center Him in our lifestyles and our worship of Him. Notice he says that the worship, when you bring all of your stuff, when you bring all these offerings, it's this central activity of worship of the Lord that's going to help determine that this is God's best choice for you. What option forces you to make sure God is at the center of what you're doing? If you can choose an option and God be on the sidelines, or you can just do God part-time, then that's not God's best choice for you. But if it's a choice that makes you put Him at the center and requires you to depend on Him and lean into Him and to transform and self-discipline your behavior and your actions, anything that calls us to a new order or a new transformation or a new focus in our relationship with God is God's best choice. Because look what he says in verse 12. He says, and you shall rejoice with the Lord your God. This verse 12 centers this idea of an anticipation of a kingdom of God kind of event, that the present situation isn't exactly what the perfect scenario and environment that we're looking for, but we're looking forward to this time that'll be different, and that God's order will be established, to the point that it would include the weak and the poor in the community. It would include those without privileges. That's the basic implication of God's character. When we choose an action that forces us to include more people that will normally be pushed to the side, that centers us in having to be Christ-like to others outside of our normal spheres of influence, that's God's best choice, because God's worship means that it's got to have both joy and it's also got to have a love of God that is spread abroad to other people. Any choice that forces us into a joy in centering God in our lifestyle and puts us in that place where we've got to spread the love of God to other people, that's going to be God's best choice. Listen, operating within these permissive parameters in our relationship with God allows us to discover God's will, because when I'm already walking with God and when I'm at rest with who I am and I'm not forced into trying to change into somebody else in order to be me and in order to obey God, and when I'm in this place that forces me to center God even more in my lifestyle, in my relationship with Him, now I'm able to discover God's best choices. Watch this. Even if some choices did not look like God's best, operating in those permissive parameters, God will make it His best choice. So I'm talking to somebody that you can't give up on the marriage yet, because there's some things that you've got to do in order for God to make it His perfect choice for you. I'm talking to somebody in a business relationship or in a business situation where you've got to make some decisions. God says, I'm waiting on you to center me first, and then I'll make this thing blow up for you. I'm talking to somebody who you're wrestling with certain decisions to make in your life, and God is saying, I can make my name to dwell. I can make it perfect for you, but you've got to put me at the center. You've got to walk with me. You've got to obey my commands. You got to stop trying to change you in order to fit in with them. But if you can be in that place and be you and let me be me in you and through you to the point that it filters out to other people, I'll make this the perfect situation for you. Listen, finding God's perfect will doesn't just happen. It's discovered when we operate within our relationship with God. Can I pray for you? Father, I pray that as we have kind of looked generally at some of the things that you said to your people when they were looking for the place to worship, help us to know and discover that you don't confine us to hit or miss your will for our lives. But it all depends on how much we push in and lean into you, who you made us to be, and what forces us to keep you important in our lives. And when we do that, you make even bad choices the perfect choice. You make even foolish decisions look wise. So Lord, I pray that you would allow us to quit complaining about what you haven't done or what we missed, and get to work on centering you in all that we do and in our lifestyle, and watch you transform things into a perfect situation for us. In Jesus' name, amen.